Hey everybody, it's time for Texas Homegrown Music, and I've got an incredible artist with me today named Jessie Lynn Madeira. She's going to do this, went online for all the way from LA, but she grew up in Texas, in Houston, and she's got a little Texas soul in her. But I'm going to introduce her with a full-on quote from Robert Earl Keane. And if you can get Robert Earl Keane to say something good about you, you know you've made it. This is an actual quote where he says, "She has a voice as clear and mellifluous as the first songbird of springtime. Her songs are intoxicatingly hypnotic. So close your eyes, let it all go, and listen to Jessie. When you wake up, the world will look a little brighter." Is that not spectacular? What a beautiful thing, and especially from the iconic Robert Earl Keane. So I'm going to take up any more time I want to get to her, but before I do, I'm going to sing a song for her because she is the mother of two boys, and this is a song that Georgia and I wrote about raising boys. As you all know, I talk about it all the time. We had the pleasure of raising two boys and two girls. It's a song called "Tell Me," and we'll come back with Jessie Lynn Madeira right here on Texas Homegrown Music.
Tell me what you're feeling.
Hey, everybody. We're back with Texas Homegrown Music. I've got my guest online now, Jessie Lynn Madera. Welcome to the show, Jessie.
Well, hi. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm really thrilled that you are going to drop this new record this week. And wow, some great stuff. And by the way, I got to hear it first, you guys. That's one of the good things about having this show. I get to hear things before you guys do, and it's so exciting. But Speed of Sound is the name of the record, and I still call it records. Sorry, records, albums. You can tell what era I was
born in. I do, too.
But what an exciting time for you. And wow, did you have some peeps on this one and some talent? Why don't you talk about that and the process behind getting this thing started?
Oh, yeah, I sure did. The first part of tracking this album really happened up north of Seattle in Woodinville, Washington. And I was there with Ryan Hadlock producing. And he has a couple tracks on this album, and that was an extraordinary experience. I mean, I had Johnny Sangster, who's Nico Case's guitarist, and Josh Newman, who's Brandi Carlile's cellist, and we just did some really magical things up there. But then when I met Dan Navarro, which was kind of one of those divine
serendipitous, huh?
I don't know. It was absolutely serendipitous. We share a booking agent, and our booking agent told my manager that I should get in touch with Dan and he could give me some advice. And it was just going to be this, you know, friendly thing, maybe like a one-off conversation. Well, Dan is so busy. This guy is constantly on the road. So it was impossible to get a time when we could talk to each other. So a year goes by, and finally he's got this show coming up at McCabe's here in Los Angeles. And my manager goes, "You got to go to the show. Go meet Dan." And I said, "Okay, I will." And she said, "And by the way, he wrote that song, We Belong, for Pat Benatar with his partner, Eric Lowen, his late partner."
Right.
And when I tell you, oh my gosh, that whole, you know, the thing that people say, you know, I got goosebumps all over my whole body, you know, that's a real thing, right? I mean, I did. I just went, what? Because We Belong was my first favorite song.
Oh, wow.
So when I was a little girl, I would go around telling people that I was going to be Pat Benatar. And it just so happens that that was really because of Dan.
Wow. You know,
he wrote most of the lyrics for that song, too.
It is a great song. And
yes.
In fact, I'm trying to think about, yeah, that. I mean, it's kind of an anthem.
It is. It truly is. And it really has stood the test of time, for sure. So fast forward, we asked Dan, meaning my manager and I, do you have recommendations for a studio? And he said, "Well, yeah, I do. Jim Scott Studio, Pliers." And we learned more about Jim Scott. And, you know, he worked on Tom Petty, Wildflowers, and he's worked with Grace Potter and, you know, all these people that I so admire. I mean, Jim's been around for a long time and he knows a lot of people. So we said, "Well, that sounds wonderful. Yeah, we'd love to track there. Well, would you like to play on it, Dan?" And he said, "Well, sure. Yeah, I'll play on it." And then we said, "Well, maybe you want to produce it." He goes, "Okay."
Oh, my goodness.
And yes. And then once we got in there, you know, it's impossible to be in Jim Scott's place. At least it was for me. It was impossible to not have him come on as a co-producer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's got too much wisdom and an instinct.
Well, had he and Dan worked together before on projects?
Yes, they had.
Oh, see, that's
yeah,
even better.
Yeah, they had. I think Jim produced, I want to say he's produced four albums. Don't quote me on that. Well, I guess I'm on the radio, so.
No, it's okay. You're quoting yourself, honey.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm quoting myself. Yeah, so they've worked together several times, and Dan trusts Jim implicitly, and it ended up being life-changing, life-altering to work with those two guys.
Well, you know, I think the cool thing for me about when I'm in a studio, when I'm in a recording studio that I know other artists have been in that I admired, it's kind of like the reason why I shop vintage clothing and the reason why I like older things is because they have a story and there's a history and there's a feeling that I get when I think about where has this been or who's been in these rooms, who all has been here. And I don't know, I have this little spiritual thing about me that I like to connect with what I know has transpired. And that can be good and that sometimes can also be sorrowful. But for you to know that you're in a studio and in a place that has, you know, garnered lots of people's love for music behind, well, yeah, let's just say it. You just talked about, well, I'm a huge Grace Potter fan, by the way. I mean, yeah, you know, she's the whole package, right? And,
yeah,
and
for sure.
Of course, who doesn't love the song Waffle? Hours. I mean, that's kind of like my thing in my era, but also to know that you have Jim and Dan there to bring out what's the best for you as an artist. And obviously they've worked with a lot of artists that we've just talked about that have a very authentic sound. How exciting for you to have somebody like that in your camp to help you put out this great record.
It was exciting, and still is. I mean, I'm still very, very closely in touch with both of them, and already talking about another project.
Yay!
Moving forward, yeah. And I know. I mean, I'm sure it's like this for you too. It is very. It's not just work for us. It is. There's all kinds of personal things that go on behind the scenes of making an album. The album is really, it becomes a symbol for everything that was going on, while you were making the album.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And, during this time, I was going through this thing with my family, and my mother and my stepfather were divorcing. My stepfather I've had in my life since I was about 6 years old. Ooh. But all of a sudden, I mean, it's been the kind of breakup where it's probably not going to be quite ever how it was,
okay.
You know, and yeah. And for the best, really. But there's a grief that comes with that.
Sure.
And kind of losing this father figure. But in the making of this album, I really believe it was some kind of gift from the universe to get to work with Dan Navarro and Jim Scott, who are both fathers around that age, and, two of the most caring, kind men on the planet. You know, I felt very supported in my music. I felt nurtured, and my music was nurtured. There was nothing manufactured or rushed about the process.
Nice.
It all felt like going home. Every time I would go to Jim's studio, it felt like I was going home.
Oh, that's so fantastic.
And I needed that.
Yeah, no doubt.
And then, I don't know if you're aware, on track 11, it says featuring John Fitzpatrick. Well, that's my biological father.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he wrote that song that we did on at the end there of the album, and getting to have him, you know, more in my life again, and I'll never forget. I will just never forget all of the things that happened in making this album and feeling that mercy from the universe.
Well, I liked you before, but now I just really love you because you're talking my language. Life in a realm that's actually sensitive to the things around us. And I made up a word called opportunity, and it's AWEPPORTUNITY.
Ooh.
And I've been thinking about a song with that message, because I really feel like if we I'm at a time in my life, I'm 20 years older than you, I think, at least, probably. In fact, I noticed that your husband was born the year I graduated high school. So that tells you I'm going to be 65 next month. And so I am in a place in my life where my kids are grown. I've got grandchildren, and I'm, you know, the empty nester. And my husband and I are very involved in so many things. But we're at a time in our life now where we start realizing that time is flying by, and we want to take advantage of every moment and every day and every opportunity that we have. And so I can't wait to see how people, you know, accept this gift that you've given us, because there's so many great songs and sounds and feelings in this record. It was really hard for me to decide. And I know I asked you your top five, and which, you know, who knows why we choose the things that we love. But I know is on your album, so I know you like all the songs on it. So I do.
And actually, I have a team behind me, a team around me, because that's the truth of it, really. But between my manager and the radio promoters and the booking, you know, everybody has a say, right? The PR people, everybody has a say. And so everybody gets the album, and we're all supposed to like agree on what our favorite tracks are, what are going to be the focus tracks, what are the singles. And it was wild. Like, for a second, everybody picked, like, some of them would overlap. Like, everybody chose Austin, for instance. Right. But, like, everybody had different choices at first.
And I think a lot of it could be where you are in your life and what speaks to you at that time, right? Because it's just so...
Yeah, but it made me very happy, because that tells me that, you know, hopefully the case is that there's something for everybody.
There is, for sure. I already know that because I've been listening to the tracks all day today. Well, I want to play Austin right now. And when we come back, I want them to hear this song first before we talk about it, because it's going to mean different things to everybody. And of course, being that this is Texas homegrown music, people are going to immediately go to, oh, she's singing about Austin. Well, Austin, this particular song could be a place, definitely a person, which is, you know, kind of what I'm feeling that it is about. But and it also could be about just anything that you are searching for or that you found and you have this passion about. So let's play it, and we'll come back right here on Texas Homegrown Music with my guest, Jessie Lynn Madera, and this song called Austin. It's a single that's out now on her record that's called Speed of Sound, dropping on March the 15th. So I know you're going to love it. Can't wait for you to hear it. We'll be right back right here on THM.
Just outside of Austin, there's a room I could get lost in. Open my eyes one day, make the miles back to LA. He touches me like velvet, just like you can't believe it. Search so long for meaning, and he thinks I know the secret. Evidence. Don't bother asking if it's love. I don't even have the question now. Because he kisses like the Wolverines through the cedar elm trees. Shit, he's got me at 180 before we even hit the main street.
With Jesse and Jesse, that song is awesome. Your voice is incredible. Real quick, when did you start singing, and when did you know this was your gig?
Well, I've been singing since I was maybe 2 or 3 years old, which is maybe an annoying response. You know, you probably want a date like when I.
No, I don't want to date that. Yeah. I can tell. I mean, I can tell that's just it's just who you are. It's not what you do.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think it was pretty obvious to my family that I was going to do something with it at some point. My mom used to take me out to the piano bars plural. There was one specific piano bar. It was the Kingsley Inn. And we were living in Birmingham, Michigan at that time. And we would go a couple times a week to the piano bar.
Tell me about your parents real quick. Musical involved?
Yes. Yeah. My mom could have been a professional singer and could still be, you know. She has an amazing voice. I almost wish I could. Oh man.
Well, you have other projects here, and you've got your bio dad on this one. Maybe you could bring your mom in on something in the future.
That's the plan. And, I'd love to someday even help her write an album of her own. And
there you go.
She deserves it. She's really incredible. And she used to sing my brother and I to sleep, and she would just sing around the house. You know, she'd be sitting on the steps just singing.
Oh, wow.
She's wonderful. And then my dad, my biological father, he always loved music. He didn't play anything for most of my life, but he was the kind of person that, like, we'd be in the car and a Bonnie Raitt song would be on, and maybe she'd sing a line and he'd go, "Did you hear that? Okay. All right. No, come on. Rewind it. All right. You got to hear that." And then we'd talk about what the line meant and how incredible it was. And so he would take me to the Bluebird Cafe, back when it was a little bit easier to get seats in there.
Back before everybody knew about it.
Yeah. So songwriters were really treasured. I was just taught to love them and have really great respect for them. And then my brother started writing poetry when he was a teenager, and I always wanted to do everything that my older brother did. So then I started writing, and then I became a songwriter.
Wow, you know? Wow, that's so cool.
But my dad now plays harmonica. He taught himself how to play. He took some lessons too, but this guy is definitely trying to get his 10,000 hours in. I mean, he's always got his harmonica in his pocket, you know? Driving with his knees, playing the harmonica.
Cool.
And he started taking voice lessons a couple years ago and started writing songs, and now he's gigging. And I mean, he was in his 60s when he started.
How fun is that? Good for him. That is awesome. I love that. I do. I love that. I love that people can still recognize that you're never too old for a dream.
That's right.
And, you know, and a passion. And by the way, I mean, 60s is young.
Right. Well, my parents both are making me see that, you know. And you too.
Well, it is. I mean,
it's not what it used to be.
No, and that's why when I think about it, it really is just about how you look at life and how you look at yourself. And there's some people that are in their 40s that are old, and those of us that are in our 60s that are not. And so it just depends on how you look at life and how you live life and how you love life. And so good for your parents. And I hope you do that for your mom. That would be a beautiful thing as a mom. Yeah. And I, you know, I'm kind of there with my daughter. I have a daughter that's just now in her, you know, she feels like she's so old. She's my youngest. She's 23 and she's just starting to really come into her love for music. And she's thinking, because she's on looking at social media, thinking she's late. And I'm telling her, Layla, her name is Layla. Layla, you have so much ahead of you. And it's just about doing it, right?
Oh yeah. One of my biggest regrets is actually taking a little bit too much time worrying that I was late.
See?
You know, and I mean, it's kind of funny to think about, you know, if we're running late for a party, we don't just sit on the floor and go, "But I might be late." No, we get our butts in gear and we get out of the house.
We get out, right? Well, I mean, come on. I remind people all the time, Willie was in his 40s when he started.
That's right.
And look at him. He's 90, still playing gigs and doing well and loving life. And, you know.
And Dan Navarro was in 70s, his 40s, right? When he kicked off. Well, he was in his 40s when he kicked off the main part of his career.
Yeah. Yeah.
I should have mentioned my brother. My brother plays piano. He plays this boogie-woogie piano. Maybe what I need to do is get the whole family together and get your dad to play
harmonica, even though I know your parents are divorced, but, you know, your mom's been remarried and moved on. So,
it's been a while.
Everybody recognizes that, you know, you can still care about one another and be around each other without having all that stuff. But what a fun thing to do, to bring everybody together and do an album. If nothing else, start out with a song and just make it fun. Well, speaking of fun songs and something wonderful, Austin, this song, there was no doubt everybody on the planet that had anything to do with this record was saying, this is definitely a single. This is definitely a wonderful song. I think, did I read something about maybe it had some, it was a self-reflective song on something that you had gone through, or?
Oh, yeah. I grew up mostly in Houston, and I had this older boyfriend that I would go and sneak off to see just, you know, right around College Station. He went to Texas A&M, and he was a veterinary student.
Is he a veterinarian now?
He's not.
Oh,
no.
No,
he's actually a chef.
Oh, there you
go. He's a chef. Yeah, and he's a great guy. You know, that it's just, this song is about just being a little wild thing.
Don't you know we've all loved that part of our life?
And I
still am.
Right, and I am a wild thing, but I am also happily married. You know, I'm married to my husband, Hemke Madera, and who's a wonderful actor, by the way. He was on Queen of the South for, I think, gosh, how many seasons was that? 5 or 6 seasons. He just booked a job in Australia, so I guess we're going to be going to Australia this coming month. So that'll be fun. But back to Austin, you were saying it could be a place, it could be a person, it could be a feeling inside. You know, in reality, I guess it was a place, but I do love that idea of it being a person.
Well,
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love this song because it really shows the dynamic of your voice. I mean, there's no way that you can listen to this song and not walk away going, that girl can sing. And I don't mean sing. And after
it was really nice to rock out on this, to get the opportunity to rock out on this song. For sure. Cause I'm moving away cause there's a leaf blower going on outside my window. it was really fun to finally write a song that I can just have that kind of fun with, you know, and be able to really trust my instrument.
Well, it's definitely that. And it's, I mean, there's nobody that's going to hear that, like I said, and just not walk away and be blown away with your gift. So speaking of your gift, we talked about it a little bit with Dan. So you got to not only work with him, but you co-wrote this song together called Last Call.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. What a that was a dream. That was surreal to get to write a song with the person who wrote my favorite song.
Yeah. So just to remind all of you, she was talking about earlier about the Pat Benatar song called We Belong, which is definitely an anthem. And as a kid, I remember hearing that song and thinking, oh, okay, yeah, this is how I feel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Dan is such a great guy. He's one of those, his verbal, I don't know if he's ever taken an IQ test, you know, that's only his business, but I think his verbal IQ and certainly his verbal acuity is off
the chart.
The charts. Yeah. I mean, he is, he's super smart and, he works so fast. He sent me this, guitar. Now my words are failing me. Where's Dan? I need to get Dan over here. He sent me just a guitar progression. And, I sent him back, lyrics, and basically the song was finished.
Wow.
And then we got together and we ironed out a couple things, but then it was done and we recorded it. And at first we tried it as a, you know, back and forth duet, but then it ended up being a song that needed to be sung together, because it's kind of cool, you know, in the line, for instance, where we're saying, I would have been a better man. I'm saying, I would have been a better man. And he's saying, I would have been a better man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, it's a great song. And of course, again, I did a little bit of homework going back and just, you know, after seeing some of the things that he had been involved in. Wow. I mean, he's written so many songs for so many different artists and film and, you know, all kinds of things. And for those of you out there that are interested, so Dan Navarro, which was the second half of Lo and Navarro, a duo that I guess people just constantly were going to asking to write things, or they were submitting things. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah, and they were singing backgrounds. They were like these sort of celebrity background singers.
And like involved in so many different projects and albums and events and fundraisers, and seems like just two tremendous, tremendous people. And Loewen sadly contracted ALS, and I'm not even sure what year that he passed away, but I guess their last gig was in 2009, I think. I read. And Dan has gone on and is continuing to play in his 70s. And he's a really good looking guy, by the way.
Oh, he is. He is.
He's definitely some eye candy. So I'm hoping I bump into him sometime. I have this thing for facial hair, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. And I noticed that your husband seems to have facial hair a lot.
I'm going to keep my husband away
and
from
you. And so does mine. Well, so does mine.
Oh,
so
good.
And you don't need to keep him away from me.
It's nice to have. It's like a being with a bear.
I love
right?
it. I don't know what it is. I guess because I'm a hippie and I really just like that kind of earthy thing, you know, where it's like, don't shave. You don't have to worry about me. I like it, you know.
Yeah, me too.
So I'm going to play this song Last Call now that you co-wrote and is on your record with Dan Navarro. And it's a really cool thing for you, honey. I'm so happy for you. And not to say that you haven't already done some tremendous things in your life and already had some accomplishments, but there's got to be something to that whole pat on the back when you have people like you have involved in this. Saying, yeah, girl, you got it. You are the it, and I want to be involved. I love being a part of it.
Well, yeah, there's something I kind of feel like my muscles are kind of relaxing and settling and going, okay. I don't feel like I have as much to prove maybe to myself.
There you go.
You know, I guess. And there's a lot of freedom in that place.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to play it right now. It's called Last Call. With my guest, Jessie Lynn Madeira, and this song that she co-wrote with Dan Navarro, who also helped produce the record and was obviously playing on it and all kinds of fun things. So off this record that's dropping on March 15th called Speed of Sound, and we'll be right back.
Once upon a lion, once upon a hummingbird, once upon the waves and a full moon at the shore. Do you build the walls? Would you guess and fall? Do you graze your car? The shape of me at all, your track etching. Calling the morning when we were young, those old boats were curved. I could have jumped on one, but I won't. The last call of the evening, the first call of the morning. I would have been a I'm a warrior. You loved me in a way you don't admit to anymore. You laid out my skin for me. You climbed in right next to me. And you told me who to be. Well, that's what you asked for. You're trying to see. Old boats would go.
first call of the morning. Your track and etching,
we're back, and I have really, really enjoyed this, Jesse. I mean,
goodness, thank you.
Not only because I love your music, but also because I love your vibe. I can just tell you're just a really cool chick that has really made a lifetime of going after things and enjoying yourself. Which, speaking of, I have to get a little personal. Tell me how you and hubby got together here.
Oh. Well, let's see. I was living in New York, and my best friend had just moved out. She'd been living right by me in Queens, but she moved out to Los Angeles about 8 months before I took this trip out to meet her and go to a wedding here in LA. And she met Hemke outside of a bar called Bronson Bar. I guess it was just late at night, and everybody was outside of the bar, probably waiting for cabs or Ubers or whatever. And they became fast friends. And fast forward to me coming to visit. Oh, he just walked in. You want to say hi to him?
Sure.
Hemke, say hi. He just got home.
Yay.
Say hey.
Hi.
How are you?
So she says, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
So I'm telling her about
how
we met.
Look at that face. Oh, my goodness. Mwah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Santi Claw.
Si, Santi Claw.
Nice to meet you.
He says, very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I don't know. She invited him over when I came to visit, and the next thing I knew, about 3 weeks later, I'd moved out to Los Angeles.
There you go. Smitten.
And you were bitten and smitten. I was bitten and smitten. And then, we met in June. I moved out to Los Angeles in July. And then by the end of September, we learned that I was having our first child.
How wonderful.
And, we've been together ever since. And then we had another little boy. So we've got two boys now. And that's that. He really is a wonderful actor. And I love watching him on screen just like anybody else. But my favorite version of him is definitely husband and father and just normal everyday
absolutely
stuff.
Absolutely.
He's a good one.
Well, love is a beautiful thing, honey. And I'm so happy that you have children, because that as well is a beautiful thing. I didn't even start having my children until I was in my 40s. So, and I've got four. They're all adults now, sort of.
This is why you seem so young. I think it's just kept you young.
Oh, it totally has.
Yeah,
but I was definitely the oldest mom in the schools always. I'm walking through with my little kids, and there are some people are you just looking at me like, really, those are yours? I'm like, yeah, these are mine.
Yeah, but there's got to be some swag. I'm sure you had some swagger.
Oh, Totally. No, totally. Like, but they just knew me from, you know, music or I run a nonprofit. They knew me from other things. I don't think they really expected that I was going to be the mom of four kids. And we actually adopted our last child. We adopted from Africa when she was 9. So we just added to the brood, right? And we would go places.
Don't give me any ideas.
I know. Well, you are going out of the country.
Yeah.
So, and I wasn't looking to do that, but it just it was one of those universe things. And I can tell you're just very keen to the things that that draw you to closer to people. And
totally,
you know, life is about relationships, and clearly you understood that. And I'm so happy for you that you have love and this beautiful life and this family and this wonderful record and this beautiful gift of music. And I love my job because I get to meet people like you and we get to share in the one thing that we can all benefit from, and that's music. And that has, you know, it crosses the line of everything that people try to confine. And in today's world, we need it. We need it more than ever.
Absolutely.
You need it more than ever. So, Sweet Pretender, you want to give me a little... Oh, let's talk about this. So you lived in New York, so now I know you know about the Bitter End and what a cool, vibey room that is. And you're going to be there in May. So all you people that are listening, you get to see her in May. Tell me some other things that you're doing. And if you don't have it written down, I've got it right here.
On May 4th, I'll be at the Bitter End. And that it's always wonderful to get back there. My first full band show ever was at the Bitter End. I want to say in 2008, I guess. And I love playing there. I love getting to play on that big piano, and it feels like home when I go back. And then the next night on May 5th, I'm going to be at the Ram's Head Tavern in Annapolis. Yep. And May 7th, I'll be at Jam and Java. That's in Vienna, Virginia. I'm hoping I can get some of my West Virginia family out.
There you go.
May 10th, I'll be at Natalie's Grand View, and that's in Columbus, Ohio. And then May 11th, I'm doing the Concert for Causes in Indianapolis. And it's going to be a full month. I can't wait. I'm really excited to get out there.
You'll be on the heels of your record having been out for a little while, and it'll be exciting. And I know that everybody's going to embrace you in such a wonderful way because you're just a beautiful soul, a wonderful human being.
Thank you.
A gift to give, girl.
I hope I see some lips moving out there in the audience.
Absolutely. I know. Isn't that fun? That to me is just awesome. And it doesn't matter if it's 10 or 20 or whatever. When people are out there and I can see that they know the songs, oh, it feels so good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, you made me feel good today, honey. And thank you so much for taking the time to do this interview. All the way from LA, but you know, I was born in Houston. So when I found out you grew up there, I was like, see, we have something else in common.
I love that. Well, that's so awesome.
And don't forget, I love the idea of you doing this family record sometime. You got to think about that, girl. We dropped in a little idea.
Let it
marinate in your mind and your heart and your soul. And maybe you can do that for me. We'll have you back. And you already said you're already working on another project with Dan and Jim, right?
Yep.
So I'll look forward to hearing about it and want to have you back on the show. But for now, we're
going to
play Sweet Pretender with Jesse Lynn Madera. You guys go out there, buy the album, download those songs, get some merchandise, help get the word out, because this girl is worth listening to. Let me just tell you. And thank you so much for being here on Texas Homegrown Music. And we'll be right back.
I suspect the time will take away these things that I don't need. And so I pay my tab, head into the street. As I recall, there was a time when he would search a room for me. All my life, I cannot figure what this means. He's out the back gate, doing coke with Kate. Sometimes he's so charmingly. Oh, eyes, restless from the cradle. Now I realize that it's so hard to see the rainbow through glasses dark as these. Maybe I'll be able from now on. On my knees, and oh, I am weak. Oh, I know that I am vain. Take this weight from me, let my spirit be unchained. The sidewalk, and I am overcome. It seems that we've both forgotten to go home. Ever seen an angel? Oh, that rock of ages when I need it most. Oh, I am weak. Oh, I know that I am vain. Take this weight from me, let my spirit be
Jessie Lynn Madera again, a song called Unchained off of this record that she just dropped on, or is dropping on March the 15th. Lots of great music on there. Avail yourself of it. I promise you, you won't be disappointed. Well, the end of another great show, and I tell you what, I say it over and over again, I absolutely love being able to bring these artists to you and just giving you the opportunity to learn about people out there that you probably didn't hear of before. And if you love it, let me know. I love hearing from you, maylee@texashomegrownmusic.com. And also, don't forget, Texas Music Revolution coming up on June 7th and 8th in my hometown of McKinney, Texas. We've got some incredible artists, including one of my favorites, Lucas Nelson on Friday night, Lyle Levitt on Saturday night, with a plethora of other artists throughout the day. I'll be hosting a stage on Friday night, Female Friday. I've got Bree Bagwell playing on the stage, as well as some other artists and bands. And then on Saturday, all day long, lots of great, great shows and great artists. And we'll have them all on our website. You can go there on texashomegrownmusic.com and see the lineup. So thanks for all of you that listen weekly. Share with your friends that this show is always available on podcast. And we'll see you guys next time. Thanks to my sponsors, Guitar Sanctuary and, of course, Burris Injury Law. Peace out, everybody. Remember to love life. You get out of it what you put into it. We'll see you next time.